Good evening, Zach.
Market sniper. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Very, very good. And how are you keeping at this fine twilight moment?
Well, it's a twilight moment of my career, probably, but I thought I'd just give you one, one final podcast before I sign off for good.
Don't do it, Zach. Don't do it. There's people out there that love you.
I hear Beachy Head is very nice this time of year.
Well, speaking of beachy head, some head has hit the beach. I'm looking at a man in salmon pink shorts with a t-shirt that says, Phil says, relax. This is, of course, the saga of Sir Philip Green and British Home Stores. And this narrative, Zach, and I'm going to be bringing you in 1 second, but it seems to have everything. We've got wild expansion and a massive business revenue ramp in the early doors. We've got cheap debt fueling this. We've got global outsourcing to China. All the components are in there for the big move up. We've got tax efficiency. I know your special place for a Panama hat. And we've got a wife that seems to get the largesse on behalf of all. We've got political influence, knighted by the Queen at the behest of Tony Blair. I always get tempted to say Tony B. Liar, but I don't know why that comes over me. It must be some sort of Freudian thing. For services to the retail industry, knighted for services to the retail industry. This is what we have. We have near to £1 billion dividends being paid out. We've got high rolling casino nights as king of the tables. We've even got a hollowed out pension fund. And we've got extreme wealth for the boss and bereft workers on near minimum wages and underfunded pensions. £100 million super yacht to be delivered to Sir Philip. And we have a company sold to a dodgy crew called Retail Acquisitions, where apparently there's prior form for £1. And it's all to be crash landed by another, apart from Sir Phil. He passes the flaming baton to the final party to take it into the swanning dive into the turf. 11,000 staff layoffs. Surely this qualifies for what's known as a control fraud. Zach, your comments on this saga.
Well, I'm happy to say that I did meet Sir Philip once. I actually met him in one of his retail outlets, Dorothy Perkins in Marble Arch. He was doing a stock take, which I was very impressed by actually at the time. At the time, he was my hero. He was a hero of mine in the same way as James Goldsmith and other entrepreneurial buccaneers, because I'm a bit of a capitalist sometimes, not a very good one myself, but I admire it in other people. And I said to him, probably in exactly the way I'm going to say it to you, I said, "Are you Sir Philip Green?" And he looked at me. And because he was, I was surprised because he was actually a bit smaller than I imagined. People tend to be not the same size as you imagine them from TV, etc. And he looked at me and he was in the middle of his stock take, and you could see him thinking, okay, I've got about, I could say hello or I
Could
could
he just
not
say
waste.
guilty as charged? That would be quite apt.
No, he actually looked at me and he thought, in order to speak to this person who I don't know, who may be a customer, may not be a customer, or at least a friend of a customer, I will have to waste about 0.3 of a second. Do I want to waste that 0.3 of a second or not? And he decided he didn't.
No
So that was
surprising.
it. So that was it. So that was the end. And that was a great lesson for me because he was my hero. And he basically snubbed me. And I thought, well, okay, the lesson I'm going to take from that is that, rich people, for them, the most precious commodity is not actually money, but is time, because obviously time is money. So he decided not to waste that 0.3 of a second. And I wouldn't say that what's happening to him now is karma, but I sort of get the feeling there's a little bit of karma involved.
I've heard many narratives of very large ego and arrogance personally, but that's come second
No,
hand. It
I think
might
it's
be
human.
angry people.
It's a human instinct to say hello, even if you sort of don't mean it, if you know what I mean, or you don't. It's an instinct, isn't it? It's a
You're
reflex.
relying on a courtesy reflex there, Zach. Present in most people, not in
Reflex.
some.
So it's like that. So he was my hero. So I would say that. But I think actually, as far as, I mean, what I pride myself in most things is trying to be as objective as possible. And in this case, with this whole BHS saga, as you said, there is everything in here. It has the tax aspect, the rich aspect, the legal aspect, and all other aspects. But I think probably I would actually, most of these, I would actually be defending him, which is, as you can tell from my little story, is quite painful. But I think, it is right. The situation now is we are in a situation where the whole basis of capitalism is under question. And for instance, in this case, he did sell BHS to somebody else for £1. And after that, the value of the company went in, let's say, very big negative territories, losing, millions or hundreds of millions. If you sell your house to me for £200,000 and a year later it's worth £50,000, or they build a railway underneath it or over it or through it, whose fault is that? Can I come to you for compensation? I mean, business and the rule of law, etc., it works on the basis that, is
This is
caveat
more about
emptor.
finding another mug to carry the can for something that is in a spiraling dive than the scenario of a house later having a
Yeah,
railway
but I think
station into it.
in the case of the buyer who bought off Philip Green, which, I'm not a great business person myself, but I would have said, well, if Sir Philip Green can't make a go of it, why would I want to buy it?
Well, exactly. But the fact that there's a bigger mug prepared to have a swing and probably be given the leverage with a bit of assistance at making it big and making a name for themselves, even on a hope and a prayer and thinking they've got a particular idea, doesn't hide the fact that this entire entity was hollowed out, stripped, and then largely appears to be handed over to somebody who is quite prepared to be. I mean, it's a bit like the stick that the current Arbos banker head gets. When you think what they've been handed, yes, to take the job was maybe slightly foolish, but if you're going to get a break at being ahead of a major bank, even if you're picking up the pieces of the dastardly work of those before you, that doesn't mean you were the guy that over-leveraged it and busted in the subprime collapse. Just because you're the person that's now involved in what is now a government-run entity, I think we have to look at this, that it was very expediently, this is my take, so counterpoint to you, very expediently palmed off. Let's not forget, it was sold for £1. In other words, it was here, take it. The pound is just a notional legal concept, isn't it? It was here, have what's left. This already was pretty much a shell in my take. And in fact, I've missed one key critical sin. His son-in-law was bequested or bought properties from BHS that he later sold for £3.5 million profit. That should all have been in the assets, and that should all be liquidated for the benefit of the hollowed out pension pot and all other aspects. So we've even got a little bit of help me with a word again when you leg up the family
Nepotism.
member. Nepotism. That's the word that was escaping me. Nepotism. So we've got nepotism to add to the rest of the giddy mix. And I have to say, it does smack of corporatism, corporatocracy at its finest. There was a. Are you familiar with the concept of a control fraud, Zach?
Well, I'm familiar. Well, familiar. Well, obviously, anyone can understand that term. But the problem here again is that it's a bit like my favorite concept of the recent concept of the Panama Papers. Whatever was done by Cameron and all and various other leaders of governments, there was nothing legally wrong, and there's nothing legally wrong you'll find with whatever Sir Philip Green has done. And caveat emptor, which is the buyer beware, applied to the people who bought off him. So. If they were foolish, being foolish and being illegal is two two different things.
We're not questioning, I don't think
It
I'm
is actually
actually questioning
it's
the
like the top
legality
actually.
of what's happened.
Exactly.
I'm just questioning the flagrant obviousness of the entire playbook being laid before you beforehand. The principle of a control fraud came out in the savings and loans environment, where essentially CEOs would go to their board of banks, which were a very boring institution in those days prior to the savings and loans crisis. And they decided they wanted to earn a whole bunch more money, like their friends in Wall Street were telling them all they could do. And what they essentially did is said, give me a really far out, unlikely ever to be reached stretch target, but make it that I get paid some obscene amount of money if I were to get there. And the boards would then say, well, okay, if you did A, B, C, and D, we would say that was so far out and blinding, you would be entitled to almost £1 billion, dollars worth in options for pulling that huge rabbit out of the hat. What would then come is all future growth would be pulled forward, major discounts, channel stuffing, massive amounts of leverage taken on, all sorts of incentives, all sorts of things like robo signing in subprime, the equivalent thereof. And you just pull forward future growth and do a complete ramp, open stores even that you know that will be unprofitable in a year, but for the initial moment that they open, they get that little bump and you grow that revenue line maximally. So go on a major expansion. Think almost like the Vodafone Chris Gents era, where everything was bought and you were just conglomerating and becoming King Kong. And then the next aspect is you hit these huge outrageous targets, and then the effects start to occur, and those profitability of those stores start to dwindle, and the revenue line starts to drop, and most of them, a third, turn out to be unprofitable, by which time you've already made out like a bandit for at least 4 or 5 quarters. And you see this coming because you know it's part of the intent. You've taken on a massive amount of leverage, and done all sorts of cashback deals and signed leases with free months for a year. Now all the rents start hitting. You're off like a bandit and you leave the sinking ship to come crashing down, and you find someone who'll take it on. And there's always going to be someone to take it on, and it's not them that will have mismanaged it when it crashes. I mean, I can set a house. On I can put a whole, I can put the Titanic on the verge of sinking and leave the last straw to break its back in your hand, and then say Zach did it. Surely he takes responsibility for leaving all his staff and this pension out of hand, and surely this is just a classic case of ramp and dump.
I would, well, unfortunately, I still have to disagree. It's one of those situations where the buyer took the business on as it was, and unless he hid anything, which I would assume that he didn't, because they had lawyers, etc., they were just foolish in buying the business, just as Tata Steel were as foolish in taking over the British steel, that part of the British steel industry, which everybody knew was a sort of a dead duck or a lame duck or a dying duck. And it's just a foolish thing to do. It's a bit like buying stocks in early 1987. I mean, they looked as though we were in a bull market, and we weren't. And you could say the same for other disasters in history. It was like when you buy shares, you go short of, I don't know, you go short of Apple at $10, or you go long of Apple at $100. Probably is going to turn out to be the case now. Apple will turn out to be the most overhyped company in history.
So, on your logic,
Everybody buys it at $100 now, or bought it yesterday at $100. You can't. I mean, I think you can't. If people make a mistake like that, you can't. You can't protect them from their own foolishness. The people who bought that business for a pound off Philip Green were fools.
Yes, but no one's arguing that. And there's always plenty of fools. But who's run it, managed it, taken it, stripped it out, given bits of it to his family to sell at profits, hollowed out the pension long
That
prior to
way,
doing it, all of
unfortunately,
those
we're
things that occurred to just prior to giving it to blowing up. I mean, that's kind of like me. Buying the hand grenade, priming the hand grenade, pulling the pin and counting to 9, and on the 10 seconds stuffing it in your hand and saying, Zach's the one that takes the bang. Just because you're foolish and standing nearby me and I managed to stiff you with it, doesn't preclude me from my massive role in creating this collapse.
Yes, but presumably when Sir Philip passed on the business to retail acquisitions or whatever they're called, he was obliged to tell them that the pin was pulled out of this business 9 seconds ago, and therefore you're buying this for £1 for that reason. Would you like to buy it or not buy it? And they'd be
Yeah,
forced to
but that's
buy
a
it.
long shot for them. They know that. They'll either hit a bit of luck and there'll be an upswing in the economy and they might make a bit of money for a few years, or it's going to go down, but it was going to go down anyway. And they'll see what they can scratch out of it and sort of bottom barrel pickings. I mean, we had the same thing with Rover. There's too many car producers. There were too many. There were not enough. The big brands were clearly significantly better. It was never a premium brand. And it was the larger macroeconomics said it didn't need to exist. And BMW bought it and made the mistake and offloaded it to Phoenix, was largely just a bunch of guys that knew there were factories and hoping to get some sort of niche making out of it. And of course, it went bust on their watch. But you would say the dynamics for the end of Rover were already long in play prior to the eventual it's a fail and there is no more Rover as the vehicle brand.
You know, but I think there's the issues here that, for instance, Robert Maxwell in the early 90s, he did actually raid the pension fund. He did actually, take the money out and use it for his own sort of benefit or to shore up another, from, I think it was Mirror Group. He raided the Mirror Group pension. That was a clear fraud here. One presumes everything was transparent, everything was open. And I think it would be wrong now then to say, well, just because the business subsequently went bust, Sir Philip Green is liable for whatever happened after he owned it. I think that is unfair. And also the other trend, which is even worse of this the Phoenix reset era, is retrospective laws, where laws are changed now, and lawyers go back and say, well, it wasn't illegal in 2005 to I don't know, drive on the right-hand side of the road in the left-hand side road country, but now it is, and or whatever. I mean, they change things the wrong. The other, now it's illegal to ride on the right-hand side when before it wasn't, and they change the law, and fire, LIBOR is illegal, and forex trading is illegal, and you go back
I
five
don't
to
think
ten
it
years.
comes to that. Let me just answer one simple question then. How is it feasible and tenable and allowable for a company which is clearly actuarially, by all accounting means, under-resourced for its pension fund, able to declare a massive dividend and pay substantial sums to the most prominent shareholder? How is it possible to be paying out dividends on a company that has insufficient pension provisions? And we're not talking about missing a fiver or so, we're talking about completely hollowed out.
Well, because at that time, and probably even now, there is no requirement to have, there's no relationship or legal relationship required that there has to be a certain amount of money in a pension fund in order for you to take a dividend out.
Well, for
Because a
me,
lot of companies don't, a lot of companies don't have pension funds, and therefore, and you can take dividends out of them. So I don't, there's no relationship, I presume, in law for that to happen. I think the problem we've got here is, again, with so
if
many
you have a
aspects of
staff and
life now.
pensions, you have a liability, and you have to have be setting aside reasonable cash reserves and in this equity and growth environment with low growth expectations, a certainly higher amount of capital for meeting those pension requirements.
Yes, but how
And
many years of reserves do you require? 10, 20, 30 years? I
that's
mean,
an
what
issue
that's
for the accountants, and it goes beyond my depth of knowledge as someone who's
yes,
not an
but
accountant.
at
But
this time, I would assume, and the reason that Philip Sir Philip did it is because there was no requirement to have more than a certain amount in the pension fund before a dividend could be taken out. But the problem is now you've got this sort of reverse, this retroactive witch hunt, where because he struck up a good deal in getting rid of this business before it killed him, it's killed somebody else, and now he is liable. But once he sold the business, he shouldn't be liable.
so I work with a small medium enterprise group, and one of the key phrases they say is the founder and owner should love their customers and love their staff and work for them in principle and see that they are well served. Do you think that's what Philip, this is no longer a legal issue, I'm talking just morally for success. Do you think Philip Green has done that?
Well, given the response he gave to me when I said hello to him, probably he's not one of those sorts of people. I think he's a very tough businessman, and he got rid of the business once he realized that it was going to cause him a lot of financial damage. But I don't
And
think
stripped
that. I mean,
everything he could out of it.
it's reported that he's offering to give 80 million pounds, or has already offered to give 80 million pounds as a sort of to sort of prop up the pension fund there. But
If
in
he's
fact,
behaved ethically, why should he need to do that? I mean, that's like schmuck bucks offering to pay some tax and saying, well, we'll chuck in 1 million quid. Or Google doing a deal with George Osborne. Why the need to do the deal if they're playing by the rules? Surely there's guilt there.
Well, I think there's, well, you could say he's being very nice, but no, I mean,
No,
I
but he's
think he
not
probably,
nice. You've just said he's not
I mean,
nice.
no,
You
no, he,
greet him
no,
and he
I
won't
think
bother to greet you. You're just a schmuck customer.
the impression that I've got, I mean, I don't want to defend this man in any way whatsoever. It's done nothing for me, but the problem is from the way that everything is, that the narrative that we've had over recent years, he bought well. He sold, at a t in a timely fashion, and he's been a good businessman. If anything more comes out of
Selling
it
for a
than that.
pound, Zach, is not selling in a timely fashion. It's jumping out of the burning plane and finding a bigger idiot.
Well, and so what should he have done? Gone, got burnt, got further burnt, or done what he did? I mean,
D
it was
declared
just.
and stood by his handiwork, and taken the blow for what was coming his way.
Well, I think he may take that. It may turn out he takes that anyway, with the sort of
By
the jury of the media. But I think that there's still the problem here is this sort of retroactive and retrospective type of law that we seem to be getting into, which is a very
Well, I don't
serious
see any
matter.
retrospective laws being put into place. I'm just saying his behavior needs much closer investigation. He may have
No,
broken the law. He
retrospective.
may have broken the law by understanding. And having, there may be emails, there may be correspondence about from accountants giving him the status of the pension scheme, and he may have subsequently done certain things that warrant greater scrutiny, because it's quite clear it had a boom, it had a topping out, and it had a very quick and sudden bust thanks to supermarkets selling clothes and online. And that not being particularly premium at BHS, so he's on the wrong trend. It was a bit like, if we compare Branson getting out of Virgin Records, for example, when music was going out of it, there was a long, sustained period. He recognized the trend. There was a proper buyer at a proper price. They took over all the stores, and they didn't see the theme coming. There's also a certain degree of timelessness, not once the plane's already on fire and crashing into the ocean. I don't feel the same. And there wasn't, when it went under, it was substantial years behind. And Branson was early enough in the trend not to be able to say, look, there was management that decided there was still life in this business, and they had a proper crack, and they had a proper amount of time to see if they could make it work. And they could have consolidated or got rid of stores or gone vinyl or, and become a collector's or niched player for, old schoolers. Who knows? They could have, there's, it could be argued. Here, I mean, this guy, apparently the guy who took it off him, is known as, has a reputation as some form of his own. And that's what it takes, a real vulture who's just really going to take the rap and see what he can scratch out for himself from there. And that's the impression that's being given. He has some previous form of crashing businesses. It does feel, I mean, this podcast called The Reset Phoenix, it does look like this could be one of those cases. I wouldn't be surprised even to see the likes of some entity, even potentially controlled by him, making offers on the content of some of the better bits that he'll probably have identified to the winding up accountants. Or mates potentially doing that. In other words,
Well, that would be a very good way of him getting out of, getting it would be a great PR move, in fact, wouldn't it?
He'd probably consider it so. People that had to go on the journey and have go through this a sort of a pre-pack event. I wonder if there's going to be a pre-pack administration type setup here, where he re-emerges as and gets it spun that he's going to try save jobs for the people and returns a hero on a much smaller scale in some of the better London based branches. But I'm smelling rats all over this place.
I think, I mean, maybe we obviously we sort of got a difference of opinion here, but probably the problem here is that the corporate processes, you make a profit, you can take a dividend out, you can do this, you can put in your wife's name, you can do all this sort of stuff. All those things are about, 150, 200 years old. They're like 19th century capitalism, Dickensian type of capitalism. As we've discussed previously with the Panama Papers, the taxation system is also very, very antiquated as well. It comes from the time, from the 19th century. It's basically as the first taxation was, and the legal processes in general are very, very outdated. They're not suited to an age of super transparency and online and global and all those things that we have now. And I think that's actually the problem that we're now seeing behind everyone's fridge. We're seeing what happens in great detail. And all these things were really designed to be opaque rather than transparent.
Yep, and a director's responsibility when you're of a big corporation that has a pension fund. I mean, we've seen this
Yes, but
before.
those are responsible. Yes, but that those the pension funds and the corporate governance and all those things are from the 19th century, and the morality associated with those things is obviously not acceptable now.
Hope
So
so.
11,000 people losing their jobs like that. If it was 1865, nobody would give a damn. Now it's painful.
Yeah, it'd be interesting
So
to see. I'm not up
I
on the
think that's
law
the problem.
on the pension fund, but I think he faces a real exposure, and he could be the retail store's equivalent of Fred the Shred, who jumped on a particular time and
Well,
a
I mean,
trend.
it could turn out to be like Robert Maxwell, which was the sort of pension fund raider. But actually, from this conversation now, I think he could actually emerge if he plays his cards right. He actually can emerge as the white knight who sells the business for a pound and then buys it back for a pound and says, he's going to sort it out.
Yeah, wow. Isn't that going to be interesting?
Pays 200, 300 million. 500 million even would be worth it. Whatever, let's say he buys it for the equivalent of the pension fund, buys it for 500 million, which is more, half of what he's taken out anyway, so he's still at a
Not
profit.
smothered in
And
debt. He sold it for a pound with a ton full of debt. You wouldn't buy it for 500 million. You'd pick it up for nothing and just agree to do partial debt payments and get some of it written off. It'll be the classic
debt free.
pre-pack. Yeah.
Yeah, so but he could actually come back and he could actually make this look good in the end for himself.
The interesting thing is he actually owns some of the better properties outright, so those aren't part of the assets of BHS, separate entities as well. So he's kept some of the prime London buildings, and of course, when BHS is no longer a tenant, he'll be able to let those because they were on long-term lets from many years back, far more profitably. So I mean, it sounds like a good. It sounds like in terms of many things, he's done a little bit too good at business. That a lot of people he may win the legality argument. He may not have put a legal foot wrong. Hey, I have no information on this man, and I have no information on how whether he's been legal or not. I do think it would be great if it got far greater scrutiny, given the high profile and the ramp and dump nature of it all. It certainly warrants it, but it's
I
really.
think what would be disappointing is if, after all this, nothing changed as far as the processes are concerned with, corporate takeovers and sales and pension funds and things like that. I think that would be disappointing. I mean, if you look at it, that's the problem with the aftermath of the banking crisis. Nothing has actually changed as far as CEO pay, board structure, all those things. None of them have changed. I mean, the real essence of what caused those problems, the overzealous loans, and I don't think anything's really changed.
Yeah, really interesting. Well, he was knighted by Tony Blair for services to the retail industry. Maybe he'll come running home or riding his white horse back as that white knight to give service to the retail industry. But as for those 11,000 staff members,
That would probably be the best scenario for all concerned, that he came back to try and clear up the mess.
I think you'd make some money on it second time around after dumping all the leverage, and it might be a totally different business. And I think we've got a different view on that, and I think his actions warrant close scrutiny. If he's not done a foot wrong by the law, you can't sue someone for not doing anything wrong by the law.
The law would have to be changed.
But laws, certainly, yeah. Especially on the pension funds, because this isn't the first time this has happened in the UK with people. You know, if it's your pension, you worked for a company and you've not changed jobs for many years because you're building up a pot and you've shown loyalty, etc., etc., and you've hung on, you know, and been loyal servant for that pot that's coming your way, and you're coming close to retirement, and then you find out it's all gone. What would you make of that?
No, I think there's nothing worse than that. I mean, I think it's total horror. I mean, although I have to say, I speak from somebody who doesn't actually have a pension or any financial provision, whereas my parents, who were doctors for 40 years, have their pension, their pension from the NHS, and it is very fortunate that they have it.
So could it be we are all just emotionally responding due to this big name brand? It means nothing to me as a store, it has to be said, and I know he has others as well, and it's not clear what's going to happen with there, because I think he's head of Arcadia, wasn't he, and there were a few other brands under there, but could it be then, Zach, your position is everybody's emotionally responding, he's abided by the rule of law, he's prepared to chip in a little bit for, you know, the hard times that are left for those others. He insists he wasn't the last man holding the hand grenade, and that, you know, any questions about what happened and why it went bust should be addressed to the old party. And we're just a bunch of crybabies crying foul, and we should get with the capitalist script.
I think there's a lot of envy, as there was at the tax situation. And there are very few people who can look at this without a slight green tinge, let's say, especially with the yachts and the Phil says relax, etc. I mean, you've got to be quite... and Monaco lifestyle. I mean, everybody is going to be slightly, you know, it is a little bit...
a bit loose.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. You're slaving away yourself, and you see this guy with his, you know, surrounded by Kate Moss and Sienna Miller and other supermodels and yachts and all the other stuff, alpha male activities, and it's a little bit... you know, as I said, it's difficult to be detached or to be objective.
It seems a bit of a flaunt to the British public, potentially.
Yes,
yeah,
but slightly unfortunate.
Yes, maybe his PR and his conspicuous consumption could add to the cost of the reparations sought and the bile in the MPs.
But then again, if you were £3 billion, I mean, how would you be behaving?
Probably quite similar. I'd like to think with slightly more dignity and maybe a little bit less splash of the cash, but I'd have some toys, I'm sure.
I'd be exactly the same as I am now.
You'd be a hermit. You'd be Warren Buffett driving that 24-year-old Impala that's fallen to bits and living in the same house that you grew up in and had your backside wiped in. That's Zach Mir for us, helping us gain perspective, helping us contain our emotions, keeping us from being the raging mob against this poor victim of circumstance and a bad economy. Zach, as always, thank you for setting us straight. Have a great evening.
Thank you, Market Sniper.
Bye-bye.